Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The General Banter Podcast with Colin Jettis.
Right about now, baby. I want you to get yourself and your soul together.
This man will make your liver quiver. This man will make your bladder splatter. Let's all welcome the world's godfather of soul.
Colin Jettis.
It's Jettis, actually.
Jettis.
Jettis.
Jettis. Jettis. Jettis.
Fuck you. What is happening, people? Welcome to the General Banter Podcast. Huh? On the 10th of February, 2016. Was that two fucking gangster in the background for you, was it? It's not even that good, is it? I can barely play the guitar, but I'm pretty sure I can knock out a more violent solo than that. Don't know, heard it. Gary Clark Jr. Mate, you can't be black and be called Gary. Hey, gotcha, mate. How's it going, man? Welcome to the General Banter Podcast. I'll plug gigs really quick up the front, because I've only one to plug. Lavery's Comedy Club returns on the 17th of fucking February. So for all you fucking loners who don't have a Valentine's Day date, you know, nothing exciting to do. You can just save your money and go to the General Banter Live Podcast at fucking Lavery's Comedy Club. Did you go to the last one, mate? Did you go to the last one? It was fucking rammed out the fucking door. It was hilarious. I fucked up the recording of it. We will not make the same mistake this time. We'll fucking record it properly. Recorded there. Oh, I'll get to that in a second. Yeah, we recorded, and it was a bit crackly. So go to this one. The last lineup was me, Shane, and Mickey. This lineup was me, Shane, Todd, and Aaron McCann, the boy wonder. Where's Mickey, you ask? Because he's doing the Empire the day before, we're not allowed to put him on the bill. But we'll see what happens in the world of comedy and showbiz. However, we're going to have some guests. It's going to be a great night. The stand-up's going to be great. The podcast will be great. You know, it's just going to be, it's a fun thing. If you've never been to one, you probably think like, oh, Colin Jettis' podcast called General Banter. Wonder what the live one's like. Way better. Okay. Way better than this piece of shit, me talking to myself in a room having had 20 coffees. That one's cold. Don't even give a fuck. So just 17th of February, get yourselves along to Lavery's Comedy Club. It's £6. Doors are at 8:30. The last three or four have been very busy, so just get yourself a seat, if anything. Just get down and get a fucking seat. You know, if you're like, oh, I'm worried about going in case a comedian speaks to me, no one's going to speak to you at a General Banter podcast. So get yourself to that. I also want to plug, I've just been, since the GoPro, honestly, I'm like, I am the worst guy for like getting on things. You know, I was like, I was the guy that was like, oh, who the fuck has Instagram? Like, fucking girls. It's for girls, like, showing their assholes. And then, of course, I got Instagram about 4 years late, and I was like, dude, how cool is Instagram? I mean, it's like your own little world. You can create all photographs. You know, like rejecting the iPhone. I will not get an iPhone. It's a piece of shit. Soon as I get one, I cannot literally live without an iPhone. Get me iPhones forever. And not that I rejected GoPros, but there was a good while where I was like, do I need one? I was like, I would get one if, you know, I just don't know how much action shots I'm going to take. Then I get one as a gift from girlfriend Maureen's parents. Unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. Said it before. And now I have every fucking attachment for it. I realise that filming with it, when it's not in the little lunchbox that makes no sound, it's actually really good for just vlogging, you know? What are you doing vlogging, Colin? You're nearly 30, you silly fucking baldy twat. Doesn't matter. You know, people want to see some shit. I have to film some shit with the GoPro. Anyway, I've realised that it makes it very easy to film, very low hassle to film the video podcasts, which are half an hour long. If you go to youtube.com/Gedzilla, that's my channel. There is a playlist called the General Banter Video Podcast, and there's about six of them now. I've yet to upload the one with Aaron McCann. So get on there, check it out, watch it in work. Like I always say, never watch it in your own time. Watch it when someone else, other cunt's paying you.
Yeah.
Also, one final plug. The General Banter Podcast t-shirts have finally been ordered. They are being printed by Super 8 Inc. Who I'm led to believe is the lead singer of the band Bonnevilles. Huh? Anyway, so the t-shirts are getting printed. I don't want to put up the name of the company that basically before Christmas told me that they were like, yeah, we've stopped taking orders. And to me, it blew my fucking mind. I was like, how can you fucking stop taking orders? First of all, it's only like 50 t-shirts. Or no, was it even less at that? I can't remember how much I was supposed to order. I was like, mate, how fucking long could it take machines to knock this shit out? But they basically said, oh, we're not taking orders before Christmas. And this was like the 16th of December. And I was like, so what's the crack? And they're like, yeah, we're taking off them from now till mid-January. And I was like, okay, obviously you don't know what people's personal lives are like, but you're like, Jesus Christ. I've never approached any. How well are you doing that you're able to turn down, like, money? Essentially, at Christmas. I was very confused, and I sort of thought they'd be there for people for Christmas. Anyway, we found a new place. They're going to knock the t-shirts out. They are a mild grey, like a sweatpant colour, with a sort of dark maroon graphic on it. So that I'm a big fan of, like, I have a book over here, and it's like the history of band t-shirts. And I love, like, really simple designs that, like, wash out well, if that makes sense. You know, if you got a real bright fucking t-shirt and you own it for a couple of years, it kind of looks washed out and looks like shit. I like the ones that after a year or two actually look better, that you've washed it a bunch of times, you know. So I designed it in such a way that it looks like an old sort of retro, like, American band t-shirt of some description. So I can't wait to see them. They should be in any minute. If you would like one, all it's doing is supporting this podcast. The eventual goal is we buy better recording equipment, and it means we can record the live podcast better. It'll make it easier to do sort of multiple person podcasts, so we can get a couple of extra mics and plug it into the recorder, and you can have 2-3 people on the same episode. And that's just going to make everything easier. So that's the ideal situation. The t-shirts will be available at colingettis.com. I'm excited to see them. They're going to be £16 free delivery in the UK, which I think is alright. Delivery on a t-shirt, depending on whether it fits through their little fucking slot or not, can be anything from about 2 to like 350. So, you know, you're getting the t-shirt for like 14-ish quid or so, I don't know. And also, we got a new delivery of the General Banter stickers. Now, I'm not going to lie to you guys. Not quite what I was expecting, you know? Part of me was expecting some sweet... I might have to reorder some. However, these ones, I literally can't get rid of quick enough. So, if you get a t-shirt, I'll throw you in a rack of fucking General Banter stickers. Oh, Colin, great. What a treat for us. I don't know what it means. It's just, you know what I mean? It's just fucking stickers. I'll throw them in. Who gives a flam fuck? You will know immediately once the t-shirts are available. They'll be up on the site and you can fucking, you know, put an aisle order in. ColinGeddes.com. Depending on when they arrive, we'll probably have one. You'll be able to pre-order them. There's not a whole pile. We got a sort of reasonably small batch, so we'll stick them up for sale. Pre-order it if you definitely want to guarantee yourself one, and we'll send them out hopefully. If they arrive today or tomorrow, I'll probably take pre-orders and post them out on like Saturday or Monday. How does that sound, guys? So there you go. That's exciting, isn't it? General Banter podcast t-shirts. Thank God we changed the podcast name from the Colin Geddes Show. Can you imagine walking around with them pieces of fucking shit? Up my hoods. Let's get more coffee before we delve into all the banter. Oh yeah, I forgot. Oh yeah, did I say that? ColinGeddes.com. Or no. Godzilla fucking YouTube for all the podcasts. Video podcasts. I like them. Let's talk about the General Banter that's happened this week. We had Lavery's last week on the 4th. Once again, we had just a lineup of all the squad, as we say. Me, Mickey, Aaron, Kieran Bartlett, Dave Elliott, Paddy McDonald, Roy Woods. Is that it? I think so. All the boys. We had a fucking great time. So cheers to everyone who came out. Once again, in Lavery's, here's what you do in Lavery's, right? Here's what I do. And it's happened to me, this is how sort of comedy goes generally. You go, oh my God, is anyone going to turn up to this shit? You're full of nerves. You go, who's turning up? I'm worried, right? Who would even come to this on a Wednesday night when I know for a fact Queen's Comedy Club is on? I think Paul Curry had a gig, there was another gig. There was about 3 or 4 gigs happening in Belfast that night, which is a fucking rarity. So I'm sitting there going, oh, who the fuck's going to turn up? Normally, and this shouldn't teach me anything, because there's times when we've opened the doors at 8:30 in Lavery's and there's a queue of about 20 people and you go, oh shit, it's going to be a busy one. And the 20 people come in, and then over this period of the next half an hour before the show starts, another 3 people come in and you go, oh, that initial rush was just all fucking whatever. Or sometimes what happened this time was you're sort of like, right, the last few have been pretty good. We've had really good crowds. So what I'll do is, I was like, I'm not sure they're going to turn up tonight. There's a lot of gigs on. I'll just put out the seats that we have. So we'll put out a certain amount of seats. And I'm like, right. And you start to worry in your head. You're like, what if not enough people come to fill these seats? And you're like, oh, fuck, we're stuck in a bit of a weird place here. Then, like, it starts filling up. And we're like, oh, thank God. Not as quick a fill up as we've had the weeks before, but it started filling up pretty quickly. And then we're like, okay, let's get more seats out. And then it gets to the point where people are coming in. They're like, is there seats here? And you're like, I did not bargain for this at all. We went from, is there anyone going to turn up, to apologizing to people like, I'm sorry, there's literally nowhere for you to sit unless you want to sit on this like fucking bar stool halfway down the fucking room. It's very weird, but ultimately good, because we can just keep adding more seats, or else we can, excuse me, shrink it down, bring it right in close to the comedians, which might be fun. Who knows? But yeah, we had a fucking good night. Had a few drinks. Girlfriend Maureen's friends that she used to work with, they came out. I hope they had a good time. I think they did. What I always like to see is people who come to gigs and they fucking I've never been to any comedy gigs. And they're like, oh my God, I can't believe how good this was. And you're like, yeah, don't even worry about it. It's the full squad, you know what I'm saying? Quote of the night, which I made into a meme and posted, was Rory Woods. Come out with the what is now a classic already after a week. Something about being at Colchi. And he said, eating scallions, bucking hallions. And the place crumbled at that line. It's funny when Rory Woods gets all up his own arse. It's very funny. It's a bit like when Kieran Bartlett comes out and starts physically, you know, basically verbally insulting people. And people don't know how to act because you're going, you know, this guy, you know, no, I don't know if Kieran's listening to this. It's no secret. They're going like, this is a big fat guy. This is a big fat guy slagging me. You know, I don't know whether he's in a position to defend himself if I were to attack him. You know what I mean? It's like the most confusing type of friendly fire ever. You know, he's like, blah, blah, I'm going to buck your girlfriend. And the guy's going, nah, he wouldn't buck my girlfriend. But in his head, he's going, nah, I'm deadly serious, I'd buck your girlfriend. And she may or may not like it, but it's happening. Oh, that came out wrong. People are a bit like, what the fuck? You know, what am I going to do, chase him? I don't know if he'll get that far. Same thing with fucking, what's his name? Woodsy there? He struts around with this bravado, which is so funny, because he's built like a fucking, like, earthworm gym. And, it's funny, it's just funny. Although he did absolutely wreck the place there on Wednesday, fair play to him. Follow all these people, by the way, all these people I mentioned. Kieran Bartlett, he has his own podcast, The Sunday Service, Break Sermon, Service? Huh? The Weekly Breakdown, Aaron McCann, Woodsy, Dave Elliott, Shane, follow all them twats. Follow them. And then, of course, we had drinks, and of course, I wanted to fucking go to the usual Frangos, which is across the road from Lavery's, and because we're on a bit of a health kick at the minute, Maureen managed to talk me out of it, and I was livid. Huh? Absolutely livid. I was like, listen, I'm a sort of all or nothing type guy. You know, I'm not going to like, if you know, even if I am trying to be healthy, if I'm drinking, I'm just drinking. You know what I mean? The damage is already done. There's no point in being like, yeah, just drink what you'd normally drink, but try not to eat the fast food afterwards. So that's what happened. First of all, before I forget, shout out to Mary Hamill from the Ulster Photo Fair, who came down to take photos at Lavery's. They're up on the Lavery's Comedy Club page. Give it a like. Lavery's Comedy Club. There's a general banter page, which is going to be all the podcasts, all the videos that any of the lads do together. Stick it up there. There's photos on the Lavery's Comedy Club page. Give it a like. And give Mary Hamill Photography a like for coming down and taking some photos. Fair play to you. Let's jump forward to Friday for more exciting banter. We went to see Tom Stead at Daly's Comedy Club. One of the great things about Daly's Comedy Club in Omagh is that Chrissy Bowes, who books the acts, ain't afraid to book some substantial fucking comedians. So he books Tom Stead, because I know he lives in Edinburgh and gigs around there, and is able to come over. Probably paid him a fucking fortune, like, but cold coffee. That's be the name of this podcast. Cold Coffee with Colin Geddes. We go to see Tom Stead. Bit of an odd feeling, because the week before, in fairness to Chrissy Bowes, he'd said to me, oh, if you want to come down to Tony Law, who is also a big comedian, he goes, if you want to come down to Tony Law, come on down, we'll stick your name in the door. And I was like, fucking unreal. So I go down. It was a good night. Tony Law was, I'm not gonna lie to you, a bit mad, not his normal self. Not his normal wacky, happy, wearing a sweet outfit self. So there was a bit of weirdness after that. Like, yeah, sorry for inviting you guys down, Maureen's parents. But we'd already previously got tickets for Tom's Dead, which is the week after. So I was like, right, I know last week was a bit weird, guys. I can guarantee you that this week will be better, okay? So we go down. Girlfriend Maureen was driving. So though what that means, I'm drinking in the car, along with girlfriend Maureen's parents, cracking open Coronas on the way down. And it was one of those nights where you're going like, oh, I'm not really drinking, I'll just have a few drinks. Not really drinking that much. While you're on your like ninth pint, I'll take another one. I'm not doing that much. I'm not drinking that much anyway. So we had about fucking 6 pints in there and about fucking 4 car beers. So it was chinned. And then of course Tom stayed. Fucking finishes up. He's sitting down at the bar with Aaron. We walk down and I'm like, oh, how's it going? He's like, hey, I know you. And I was like, yeah, we met about fucking 9 times. He goes, yeah, you're a comedian, right? And I was like, yeah, whatever. And quickly you realise, you go, you know, someone who you're like, oh, great. Like, I bought whiskeys, of course I did. I was like, let's drink some whiskeys. And he's like, I can't drink whiskey. And I was like, you fucking Canadian poof. meanwhile, the guy could drink fucking George Best under the table in his prime. Me and Mickey always used to joke, like, you would look at Tom Stead and he's standing there looking like Paul Rudd's fucking younger brother. And he drinks and smokes weed like a fucking maniac. And me and Mickey are sitting there like lumps of skin falling off her face like we have leprosy, going, I only had 2 pints last night. Are you wearing your nappy today, Mick? Yes. Oh my god, my arsehole. Tom stays like, hey, I'm fucking, I look great. Steamed vegetables. It's very frustrating. It's very frustrating that he looks so good and puts so much fucking shit in his body. I don't know, it's that Canadian air. I don't know what the fuck it is. So anyway, we buy whiskey. We drink whiskey. We end up having about fucking 3 or 4 rounds of whiskeys. And then it quickly becomes a case of, oh, Tom Stead, the guy you think you'd love to have pints with. You know, 2 seconds later, me and Aaron are giving each other like slight sideways looks like, yeah, this guy's a mentalist. This guy's a full fucking lunatic. Just on a different planet. Great, absolutely unbelievable comedian. Funny as fuck. One of the first comedians I think I've seen in OMA attempt to basically make fun of the OMA bomb. Fucking, not a tribute. Memorial. Tribute. Jesus Christ, Colin. He came out and he's like, yeah, I go to the OMA bomb memorial. Room goes dead. Like, you... There's certain things, like, I'm sure if you were in New York, you could do a fucking 9/11 joke. And I'm sure there's been enough comedians have done 9/11 jokes now where it's like, yeah, whatever, the city's big. Blah, blah, as long as the joke's good, it'll fly. When you're in OMA, when you bring that shit up, you're just like, oh, don't. You know what I mean? You're just like, the town's so small that there's like someone in the crowd that was involved in it. Or at the very least, someone in the crowd who is related to someone who's directly involved with it. So it's almost, someone should have just said to him, mate, I don't know whether you're thinking about it or not, do not fucking mention that fucking bomb, for the love of Christ. But, you know, it's kind of like, the point he was trying to make was like, you know, why would you celebrate the terrible things that have happened? Now, he probably didn't know that it only happened in fucking, like, 1997. Was it 97? 97? He probably didn't know that, in fairness. But someone should have probably went, here, Tom, just fucking leave the old bomb material out there for the crack, sir. Not that it was even material. I don't know, but he's obviously a fucking veteran comedian, so he was able to talk like his way out of it. He'd sort of be like, you didn't, not a lot of laughing at that one. And everyone's like, and then he would make another point about it, and people would just go completely silent again. And then he's like, hey, at least I tried, or something like that. And everyone's like, yeah, mate, for sure, move along. And I know that even mentioning that, there was like a couple of fucking people in the crowd that immediately switched off, and I'm not sure if they switched back on, because he ended up absolutely destroying the rally. Like, he fucking killed. But I heard some women mutter towards the end, like, he hasn't said one funny thing yet. And, you know, that was, it's probably just because he brought that up and she didn't quite come back from it. Which is fair enough. In a town like Omi, you don't know who you're speaking to, you know? People's direct relatives, people in the fucking crowd were in it, like, you know, so you just have to fucking, you just stay away from it. And unless you're making some, you know, rousing, like, you know, fucking statement about solidarity and peace and whatever, you're not going to get the reaction you think you're going to get in that place. But anyway, an experience. So I ended up drinking like fuck, even though I wasn't really drinking. Was absolutely fucking on death's door the next day. Had to go to Belfast. Me and Aaron McCann recorded a podcast. We go to Belfast to do the Book Reserve gig, which sell out now. They sell out pretty quickly. We had to film some bits at it. The Book Reserve is on the Lisburn Road. You've heard me talk about it before. The Cocktail Comedy Club. So we turn up and everyone's fucking dying. Me and Aaron arrive there pretty much as it's about to start. Even though we're supposed to be there about 3 hours earlier filming shit. But what can you do when you're dying? You're dying. Am I right, guys? So we've took some video of that. Probably get a little highlight reel going up. You'll probably see it. You probably go, that looks good. We'll go to that. And it's every couple of months. But yeah, it was good fun. Absolutely hungover, fully starving. Ended up phoning the Frangos that I didn't get on the Wednesday. We ended up ringing that. And I basically went, guys, we're having a few technical difficulties. So what we're going to do is, we're going to have a break after one comedian. And we'll be back in the second half with two comedians. All right, guys? Everyone's like, yeah. Gets up, goes for a piss, whatever. Meanwhile, the technical difficulty was that we got fucking burgers delivered, so we're gonna have to go eat during the break, shoving a fucking burger in my face. Double chicken burger. Holla! Came back on stage, was like, listen, there was no fucking technical difficulties. The technical difficulty was there was no plastic fork with that fucking meal. You know, I'm trying to shove it in my face with my bare hands. Everyone laughed. Ha ha. You are a fat bastard, Colin, correct? So it was good times. Some woman told Aaron McCann he looked like Seth MacFarlane. I near pissed myself. This lady afterwards. Are you Barry the Blender? I felt like going a bit late to be asking that pet, isn't it? Who brought you this gig? Did somebody like trying to go to see a comedy gig? Oh my god. Is that talking Barry the Blender? She was very over friendly, that girl. The old, like, I'm going to talk to you, but I've got you in, like, that Muay Thai clinch. Come here, let's speak to you. She's got, like, fucking Brock Lesnar gable grip around the back of your head, and you're like, is she going to attempt to try and kiss me here? Or anyone that fucking goes near her? Anyway, good crack. So that was that gig. Not satisfied with the burger and chips, Aaron McCann decides to go walk up the road to Eddie Rockets, which is newly opened. Which, when I was talking to my girlfriend's now... No, that's wrong. Let me rewind that. My sister's... I don't know where that came from. My sister's now fiancé, which sounds odd to say, who is a lovely man, but absolutely talks like that, mate. He's like, we were at Rocket Eddie's, and I did not like it, and I was... Do you know when someone's saying something wrong and you're like biting your fucking tongue off in your mouth and it's bleeding? Honestly, the quality at Rocket Eddie's was just not good. Like, I wouldn't go back to Rocket Eddie's. In your head, you're going, it's fucking Eddie Rockets. Yep. So anyway, McCann, being the fucking giant-headed, big, culty fucking dumpster, decides to walk down after eating a fucking... double chicken burger and chips out of Frango's our usual haunt, walks down to Rocket Eddie's there, and eats, it goes and gets, like, you know when you're like, it was like something Elvis would have ate while he was getting a fucking blumpkin on the shitter. What's a blumpkin, guys? It's when you get your dick sucked while you're shitting. I don't know who's into that or who invented it, but, I mean, the only thing I could think of, I've never shat and not pissed, is the only thing I could think of when I heard that. So, how does that work out? He goes down, like, you know, I don't know, it was like the fattest thing I've ever seen. Not only was he not satisfied with the fucking double chicken burger and chips, he then had to go get, you know, another portion of, you can go like, here's a portion of chips, how can I maximise the fucking shit that I'm eating while eating these chips? Oh yeah, let me get the bacon cheese fries. So he gets like, there's bacon on it, and not even like, and you know, like if you put cheddar cheese on it and melted it, it would be nice. It was just your standard fucking like yellow plastic fake cheese all over it, and then he gets a fucking like bucket of milkshake with a fucking Oreo stuffed in it, and you're like, mate, I am in no way some sort of fitness freak, but the thought of eating all that scares me. I'm just like, that literally scares me. Everyone's standing around him pretty much masturbating. It looked that good, but what can you do? You can't eat that shit. I don't know why I'm all of a sudden concerned about what people are fucking eating. Like, I'd have fucking had that. Am I on my high horse now because I've lost like 8 pounds? Yeah, I lost 8 pounds. Still, you know, still about 60 pounds overweight, but there's 8 of it gone. Up a fucking head. I'll tell you about one more thing, because those last ones were fucking riveting, weren't they? Absolutely riveting, guys. Let me tell you about one more thing that I did, which was a new experience for me. On Sunday night there, Connor Begley, who is the guy that's in the Chuck McGinley and the Man Boys videos with me that was on Late License. You probably didn't see Late License, no one fucking did. It was very badly managed. He was on it with me, very funny, legit actor. Was in a musical production, Rock of Ages. Oh my god, he's an actor in the musical theatre. Is he a homosexual man? Let me tell you something. He is not. And he goes through more minge than a fucking gynecologist. That's terrible. That's not a good joke, Colin. He goes through more. he goes through more bush than a fucking, than an Australian tour guide. That's a good one. I'll keep it. I just made that up. Goes through more fucking, goes through more pussy than a Vietnamese coat maker. I don't know. Or people walking around in Vietnam with cat coat. I don't know. I'm freestyling here. I've had a lot of coffee. I've got a migraine. So he was in this thing, Rock of Ages. I don't know what I was expecting. I was expecting like a load of covers and stuff. Seemingly it was just like hair metal. But what threw me off was when we were waiting, I could hear like they were playing like Black Sabbath and stuff, and I was like, oh, I might fucking enjoy this. Anyway, we're drunk at that too, of course. We started drinking before we went. We got there, we drank more. You could buy, there's a bar at it, at this theatre, obviously. But you could bring your drinks in, praise be to Allah. And we took in a load of fucking drink and got steaming, and this play came on. And, you know, it was good, it was great. They could have done with turning the voices up, I could hear fucking nothing, but the band were great, they were live on stage. It is funny though when you see like, when you see, you know, they've dressed everyone up in their outfits, and you know, everyone's wearing cool shit, and they're all dressed like they're in fucking Steel Panther or whatever. And it's all good fun. But then you forget that, like, you know, the band are made up of a series of musicians, and it might happen to be that, like, do you need a keyboard player? Guess what? The only keyboard player we can get our hands on is 53-year-old Mike, who we also have to dress up like he's a rock and roller, which also just made me laugh. You know, everyone's in their outfits, but then you can see what is quite obviously a very sensible middle-aged man with a fucking, like, bandana. And he's just wearing a normal sleeve t-shirt, not a cut-off one. And his dad jeans and, the boots tucked into it, and he's playing the keyboard, all that shit. That just made me laugh a wee bit. I don't know why. And then, of course, just the music, and Begley was singing, and there's a load of, girls of questionable age dancing around with their fucking camel toe hanging out. So it's pretty much, just enjoy yourself. Just sit back and pretend that you're not looking at what you're looking at. Here I go again on my own. Is she fucking 18 or what's the crack? Show me your puss. There is a lot of that in local sort of, those sort of theatres. I mean, this had all the hallmarks of, oh my god, are we going to a regional theatre to see a musical? However, it was professional. It was like, the set was amazing, all the costumes, everyone fucking could sing like fuck. It was funny. It was brilliant, like, it was a good crack. The only problem I have with it is, and it's the same problem I have with it, you watch the Oscars and all, you're like, you love that yous are actors, don't you? Well done, us. Don't get me wrong, it was great. And the way they, I don't know what it is. Like, I would love to finish a stand-up gig and walk off stage, the lights go out, then I walk back on, and I bow, and I run away. Like, I'm scared or, like, ashamed. Then I run back out again, and then I bow, and then I get everyone that's been on stage to come out, and they all bow individually. We all run away. The lights go off, and then we're all in a line, and then we bow three times again and wave at the crowd like you're fucking Michael Jackson. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, guys. And you feel like going, mate, it's a Sunday night in the middle of Tyrone somewhere. And it's not even your last night. You know what I mean? I understand if it's your last night. Everyone, you come out and you make a big deal of it. Like, thank you so much. Thank you. I did a great job, didn't I? I did a great job. Thank you. And all the cast members come out individually, which I think is unfair because people get bigger cheers than others. So you don't want to be like, to play that sort of music. And, this sort of music. Give it up for our lead! It's Begley. Give it up for this other girl, where you're wondering what age is she, because she's got enormous tits and you've been staring at her hip the whole time. Well done. And, here's another guy. Here's another guy we're pretending is a 25-year-old man, but he's clearly got a dad bod and he's 40. Don't get me wrong, it was a great production. You just don't need to come out and like ham it up like you just finished like a 4-year run of like Cats in Soho. Is Soho where the plays are? I don't know. Anyway, guys, I enjoyed myself is what I'm saying. We drank a lot. Begley came back to our house. He was drunk as fuck because seemingly in the bar scenes in the actual play, it was method acting. He was drinking whiskey for real and was fully fucking chinned. And then he got to our house, lay on the sofa, kind of fell asleep. We were still in the vibe. And then he jumped up like the Undertaker, like just sat up, rushed to the fucking toilet and barfed in the whole way in, essentially. And I told him, I was like, if I did an impression of how you were sick, you would think that I was exaggerating how you were being sick. And he was terribly embarrassed. He's like, oh my God, don't even tell me. And I did an impression. He sat up and he ran through the kitchen into my little office here where there is a toilet adjoined and opened the door and was sick. And the whole way in, all I heard was, oh my God, oh God, oh Jesus Christ. And what he done was he barfed the whole way while screaming like, like an old black lady at a funeral in a movie. Oh Lord Jesus, oh God damn it, son of a man. Oh, help me. and just basically wiped sick off every surface on his way to the toilet. And then came walking back. It's funny because Begley is a very small, slight, pale ginger man. But for the purpose of this play, had fake tan all over his body. So he took his jumper off, which he'd barfed all over, and was walking around with his little fake tan body. Going, oh, Jesus, oh, Lord, Jesus Christ, almighty. Lord, have mercy, It was fucking disgusting. And I was drunk enough to just be like, ah, fucking just shut the door and we'll fucking go see what the crack is tomorrow. See where he's chucked this fucking, what looked like chicken fried rice everywhere. You whistle there. Embarrassing. Anyway, it's good crack. We arrived home just in time to see the halftime show at the Super Bowl, which was great. Apart from Coldplay. It's amazing that Coldplay are so big in America. They're so big in the world and no one likes them. I like them. Have I any Coldplay? Let me see if we've got any Coldplay. Look at my deck. A, B, C. Do we have any Coldplay? C, C, C. That'd be very... Have I got no Coldplay? Ain't got no Coldplay in this motherfucker. Nope. No Coldplay. I'm let down by that. I am fucking let down that I have no Coldplay. I'm going to download all Coldplay stuff illegally. It's just, you know what it is? It's like there's no venom in it. You know? You know, sometimes you like your stuff to just be a bit fucking something. You know what I mean? Whereas it's just complete, like, just lukewarm tea. Isn't it? So they had the Super Bowl. I don't even know who the fuck was playing or who won. Who gives a fuck? It's tough to watch. It's good to watch highlights when they're all smashing each other's fucking brains into pate. But when you're watching it live, I just can't get into it. You know? How many fucking Lucozades do you need to do like one 20 meter sprint every half an hour? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Like, you know, the training for American football is probably way rougher than the actual fucking game. Just do we sprint, like, I don't know. What other news can we cover real quick? Of course, because it's me, it won't be real news. Did you see the footage of the guy in, was it Bangalore? It was a school in India where, I want to say a leopard, a wild leopard or a panther. If it was a panther, that would be funny because I literally have a bit about someone being killed by a panther. And it was a guy telling me on the phone to BT, "You're killed by a panther." But that was frightening, just watching this thing run around the school, tearing the fucking arse out of everyone's trousers. Whew! And then at the same time, I pretty much watched another story from America where they're like, this man was walking in Los Angeles and was confronted by a fucking mountain lion, which went to attack him. Apparently he grabbed it round the neck and like broke its neck. And you're like, you complete fucking savage. Unbelievable. Just fucking grabbed it, snapped its neck. I'd be amazed. I would tell everyone that fucking story forever. Unbelievable. 42 minutes of pure discharge. Let's hit these questions. Huh? Let's do it. Let's start with Twitter. Have you ever acted out any Gary Henderson's diary entries? I have not. I should also do more Gary Henderson videos, I think. Possibly. Don't know. I feel like I'm so tied up in all these podcasty show type things that like trying to find the time to make a fucking just a little character video for the crack is more and more difficult. I do have some ideas though for some shit, so let's do it. Michael Jardine, when can we get our hands on those sweet stickers, lad? Well, you can get a fucking full page of them if you get a t-shirt. that's not a good deal, is it? The t-shirts are sweet, though. I might bring some to Lavery's or something. Don't know. We'll see. Alternatively, I might just, if you want to just fucking have them posted, I could do that too. Reese, out of all your characters you act on YouTube, what is your favourite? I don't know. They don't really seem different to me, if that makes sense, because the timing and this sort of funny things being said, it's more or less just, this is so wanky. It is just me trying to be funny with an accent, so it doesn't, none of them feel overly different, to be honest with you. Michael Finn, what is the most scary and shocking thing about yourself? Hashtag save the wheel. I don't know what that means. What's the most scary and shocking thing about yourself? I don't know if there's anything scary and what do you mean scary? Like, if all of a sudden I'm just like, tell you what I like, eating children. You know, do you not just love cutting their fucking shoulder? Here, speaking of eating humans, we watched Human Centipede when we were hungover the other day, just for the crack. First of all, what an absolute pile of shit that is. I've never seen worse acting in my life. But anyway, just weird. Just a weird old film. You know, it is good just to see that Japanese guy take a shit though. Oh no, oh no, I needed to take a shit. Shits in the other one's mouth and she has to eat it. Oh, how terrible. How terrible would that be? Although, of course, we were joking around. I was like, you know, how bad could it really be if your face was just stitched in the... Like, if the girl had, like, a really sweet arse, she'd be like, stitched right... I suppose you could say sweet arse, but until you're eating someone's shit, you know, it could be fucking... It could be the nicest arse in the world, but if it's dumping in your mouth, you're like, I would go off it pretty quickly. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Also, I would just rip my face off. I know it wouldn't feel great, but I would just be like, I'm going to rip this off, get some help, get my face fixed. I'm not going to sit here and eat this fucking Japanese guy's shit for the next 2 weeks while there's some weird Germans pulling his wire in the corner. Oh yeah, that's good. Of course he's like fucking German. You're not going to get a weird doctor and he's like, all right, mate, I'm a fucking serial killer. Killer? I'm a serial killer, mate. I'm like a cannibal. I like to stitch your fucking anus together. That's a bad accent. More questions. Where are we here? Ryan, what's your favourite town to gig in? I don't mind. I mean, you're not talking to a guy who's gigged in many towns around the world. You know, I've had great gigs in almost every fucking town you could mention. I've had great gigs in Belfast, I've had great gigs in Derry, I've had great gigs in Oma, fucking, you name it. Especially over here, I've had great gigs in Glasgow, I've had great, you know, I've had great gigs all over the fucking shop. As long as they're great gigs, it really doesn't matter where they are. Jill, or aliens real? If they exist, they'll be real, yeah. I don't see why we couldn't find any. They'll show up at some stage. Too much shit going on there. Simon McGurk, are you on death row? I thought that's it. You're on death row. What's your last meal? I would either go like just nothing. It depends. Like if I'd legitimately done something terrible that I was gonna get put to death for, that's when I'd have the meal. If I was wrongly accused and they were like, what, do you want your last meal? I'd be like, listen, fuck your last meal. Just kill me now. If you're going to kill me, you pieces of shit, just go ahead and kill me. And then I'll cry and all that carry on. But if I did kill, I'd be like, it would just be all sorts of shit, you know? I'd like a really nice sort of, I'm a big fan of like noodly soups. Or as the Vietnamese call it, pho. Which is the stupidest thing ever. Here you go. Oh, I love that pho. And they're like, excuse me, it's actually pronounced pho. Because I travelled in Vietnam 2 years ago. It was magnificent. Indulging in their various types of pho. You're like, yeah, but you're not there now. I just say pho, dickhead. You know. Unbelievable. Sometimes words catch on, some don't. Like, Ibiza. I'm pretty sure that's the way a Spanish person would say Ibiza. I heard some English guy go, yeah, we got a villa in Ibiza. And you're like, are you going out of your way to be a fucking cunt saying Ibiza, mate? Just say Ibiza, like every other fucking dickhead in the world. I absolutely love pho. It has great umami. Shut your stupid fucking face. What was the question? Oh yeah, I probably have that. I probably have like a really sweet burger. I'll take a steak while I'm at it. Just give me a nice steak. I'll take some fried chicken. If you could put together some sort of, if you know, like that sort of granny ham you get, and you cook a ham and it starts to shred apart. I want like that in front of me with several jars of different types of mustard, and I'm just dipping that in and I'm eating it. Get me like 10 things of pickles. The spicy pickles, and I'll just chomp away at them. I'll probably barf halfway through this, start again, you know what I mean? Get me some fucking, those beef short rib things. Get me that. Get me some, like, deep fried, like, tempura prawns. Salt and chili. Get me some of that. Dim sum, big fan of that. Probably, I mean, they'd probably just get fed up and shoot me. You know, they were like, listen, no one's going to that many takeaways, you fat fuck. And then they just throw you a plate of chips and some lumpy gravy. Eat that. How many Dulcolax will you take to get this fucking party started? My gut's like two spaniels fighting in a pack-a-mac, for fuck's sake. So hold on, what's Dulcolax? Does Dulcolax, does it make you shit? Or does it stop you shitting? The age-old question. Dulk. Does it make you scat? Or does it contain the scats? Oh, it is a laxative. Mate, I've never had a problem shitting in my entire life. My problem is stopping shitting. I'd be like, what do I take that makes me, like, not shit 9 times a day? You know? I just shit like a bear. Just non-stop flow of dump. Chris McCulloch. Although I do feel sorry for you if you're taking... Have I ever taken anything like that? Don't think so. I remember taking Imodium once because of whatever was happening. I think it was... It might have been when I was at school and I had like the worst fucking, like, you know, when you get one of those like gastro flus. I also had a fucking broken arm. So it was like the most miserable fucking time I've ever had. Had a dislocated wrist and a broken arm, same time. So a ridiculous cast. I also had like some sort of gastric flu where I was being sick and shitting my life away. And I also had a sort, you know, like, you get a sore throat and then you get the sore throat where like you could cry every time you went to speak. You're just like, I just can't even deal with this. I was fucking miserable. And I'm pretty sure I had like an exam or something. I remember just like taking those Imodium, going like, I do not want to have to, like, first of all, get up, go for a shit, have someone follow you into the fucking thing because you're supposed to be doing an exam. And then I'm trying to deal with my whole situation with a fucking broken hand here. Luckily, it was my left one, you know. So, still wiping and wanking with the right one, guys. You know what I'm saying? But I took one of those Imodium then, and I remember, like, you know, there's no fucking about there. If you had the shit, first of all, you're better just shitting. You know what I mean? If you want to shit, just shit. Don't be trying to stop yourself shitting. But this fucking locked me up for about 4 days. I was like, Jesus, what's going on here? Am I going to have to put something up my asshole here? Great talk about shits and stuff. Chris McCulloch, have you ever had Brenner? Do you ever have Brenner breakfast for dinner? Yes. Of course I do. if I had my way, I would have fucking, and I forgot to mention this in the death row meal, I'd have eggs in every fucking meal. You know, just chuck me an egg on the side there. I'll fucking eat it. I love breakfast any time of the day. You know, and I can breakfast things up. You know, I could have a more breakfasty version of a breakfast, and then I feel like I could have a more dinnery version of a dinner. You know, you start making like some sort of hash in there with it. You know, you got some boiled spuds from another the day before. Fry them up with like the bacon and shit. Oh my god. If stomachs can have an erection. Getting aroused, talking about food. Nathan Hamilton, talk for 24 minutes about Parks and Rec. That's what I want to hear about whilst I'm taking a plop and work. You get 24 minute shit breaks. I'm at the point in my life where I'm like, I cannot even fathom having to shit in an allotted period of time in a workplace. Work for me is done. Famous last words. I'll probably work in a spa next week. But mentally, I am retired from working in places. You know, which will probably go against me at some stage, but I need to be doing like my own shit or else I have a major problem with just being told what to do, generally speaking. Parks and Rec. It's one of those things that me and Maureen watched together. She really liked it, and I sort of thought it was okay. But I just cannot retain information about stuff when you watch fucking 30 of them at a time. All I remember is, like, the Swanson guy was class. And then, Maureen was just like, oh my god, isn't Chris Pratt an absolute spunk monkey? And then, you know, me finding out that there's a video of your woman, Aubrey Plaza, fingering herself on the internet. And that's about all I remember. You know? And Aziz Ansari, which, if I was to sum his stand-up up in a word, that's it. And he's Indian. Racial. I don't know. You're going to have to fucking... shitting for 24 minutes. I'd be squared. I'd be scared that the whole situation would dry up there at the back before you got a decent wipe in. Unless you got some sort of bidet at work. Wash that asshole. Chris Reezy. Talk about the crazy shit that went down in Dublin at the weekend. Seemingly there was some sort of gangland shootout in fucking Dublin there at a boxing weigh-in. So a bunch of lads were weighing in and some gang member. By gang, do they just mean in the Ra? Because I'm not sure. But he got shot by two guys dressed as policemen with AK-47s. Surely the dead giveaway. Because when do you ever see police with fucking AK-47s? When do you ever see Irish police with guns? Do Irish police have guns? Is it English ones don't have guns? I can't fucking remember. Super weird. Nathan Concilia. Best compliment to pancakes. Bacon and eggs. I just love blueberries and fucking blah. I don't know, pancakes are kind of like fucking, if I was shopping for myself the rest of my life, it's a thing that I may never buy. They turn up the odd time, like, but I'm just not going out of my way to fuck. I would never be like, I'll tell you what I enjoy, pancakes, and then I go get pancakes. Bob Turley, what's the most number of pints you've drank in one night? I could never, I don't know. Who the fuck counts their drinks? Americans count their drinks? Oh my god, I had 4 drinks last night. Really? I was fucking cunt-bagged. Who the fuck counts their drinks? You know? I just, like, see if someone goes, how much did you drink last night? I just go, 7 tanners. That's how much I drank. I drank 7 tanners worth of drink. 70 quid? No, 7 tanners. It makes it sound less bad. Rebecca McCluskey, what do you think of people getting comedians to perform at a wedding? I'd never turn down a gig like, but Jesus Christ, what's wrong with a shy DJ? What do you mean you'd never turn down a gig? Do you even gig anymore, Rebecca McCluskey? You should, because if you're a fucking female, and this is like reverse fucking sexist, positive discrimination, whatever the fuck you want to call it, if you're a female who's decent, you're going to get work. Because, first of all, there aren't that many females at all. And the percentage of them that can do a fucking job while they're doing stand-up. And by that I mean actually be relied upon to... And I'm not... This is just a open micer type thing. It's nothing to do with being a female. It's just like... There's certain male comedians where I go... If I'm booking Lavery's, I go, well, I can book him because I know that he's funny. And I know... You know, his hit rate... is about fucking 90% on doing well at gigs. Whereas female wise, I just can't even fucking name any. I just like, I don't know. You'd never turn down a gig. Well, why don't you just do a fucking gig at Lavery's then? Rebecca, how about that? How about you fucking get back on that? Toot toot! On that comedy train. What do you think of people getting comedians to perform at a wedding? I think it's an absolute fucking nightmare. I have been asked, and I've had to say to people, as thrilled as I am, as fucking, like, flattered as I am that you would ask me to be at your wedding, I promise you now, you're the only one that cares. I'm going to go up there while everyone's eating fucking pavlova and try and do material about the Kardashians, and everyone's going to be like, hey, is this fucking spastic? Now, had I got up and went, hey guys, I'm the... bloody blah, who's organising the something today, just a few points, and you do a short speech and throw a couple of jokes in there and they get a bit of a laugh, that's about as much of a laugh as you're going to get. As soon as someone goes, here's the guy that's supposed to be funny, can everyone shut up and listen to him? People immediately go, well, hey, the fuck is this cunt? It never works. Now, is it a different story if, like, someone... you know, like a family member is getting married and you're a comedian and you do a fucking best man speech or a whatever the fuck speech. Obviously people are going to be like, oh great, this will be good, he's a comedian, we'll see how funny is it. You know, people are going to give you a bit more of a chance then. But other than that, there's no fucking point in it happening. Shit DJ. I mean, you say shit DJ, what you want is... You can get really shit DJs, but you can get DJs who, they know, you know, they know what they're doing when they're playing, like, fucking some shitty music. They play the right 80s fucking tracks, and you know what I mean? But yeah, comedians at weddings are a nightmare. Definitely do more stand-up, though, if you're thinking about it. Would you ever want to do a Comedy Central type roast? And that's from William Thompson, old Billy Thompsolino there. Also a comedian. Would you ever do a Comedy Central type roast? I would, yeah. I would do it at Lavery's. We thought about it, but it's just kind of, it's getting the right person to slag. You know, if one of the Lavery's fail... on, like, someone's birthday, I think that it would be funny. Kenneth Wilson, did you hear about the whole Fine Bros before furore on YouTube? Any thoughts on it? In brackets, they tried copywriting React videos, which they come up with, meaning people had to license and pay them if they had similar videos. They were going around getting small content creators shut down until the internet turned on them and they withdrew all their claims. Okay, I didn't hear about that. So obviously, they tried to copyright React videos. Is that like... Yeah, like they pretend that someone's having a fucking argument on a train to see how... You know, like, how do they react when it's female on male domestic violence? And no one does anything? It's real too. The problem is, it's not the same, is it? Some girl sort of half slapping a fella. You bastard. Then a fella grabbing her by the neck going, I'm going to fucking kill you. Like, it's not the same. So they tried to copyright that. Oh, and they're just being fucking twats. I hate those React videos anyway. I don't even like, you know, some of my fucking comedy heroes like Sacha Baron Cohen and all that shit. When he goes up to people at rallies, you know, like real characters in real situations, as fun as it is to watch, I don't like it. I don't like doing it. I don't really like making people, turning people into cunts. Yeah, fuck those guys. Trying to copyright React videos. Well, it would be a different story if they were the first to ever do it, but I guarantee you they fucking weren't. You know, it's also, I hate that, this era of the internet where it's like, you know, getting these reactions or, I'm going to give this homeless man a scratch card for $100. Aren't I a great person? Hashtag, good job, I have 8 cameras rolling to capture this beautiful moment. You fucking twat. Anyway. Yeah, fuck those guys. Right, let's rattle through these last few. Ever been to the Rory Gallagher Festival in Ballyshannon, Brian Maguire? I have not. I should make a point of going someday. Although, I asked my dad that, and his answer was, I like Rory Gallagher, not people singing Rory Gallagher songs. And I went, cool. Barry Wright, would you ever want to be a comedy writer instead of flat-out performing stand-up? I am a comedy writer, mate. And I do stand-up, and I make videos, and I do podcasts, and I do all that shit. Everything I fucking say, I have to write. It's not in the podcast. If I do stand-up, you don't just get up there and fucking, man, I'm gonna wing this 45 minutes of talking shit. Some of it's written. And you'd hear my set and go, are you sure, Colin? Are you sure you wrote any of that? But you have to write that, you know? If I do a Bestie McD video, I have to write fucking 8 to 10 short paragraphs of essentially like some my version of satire. You know, all that stuff for the TV. You have to write that. You have to write a whole load of shit. You have to write scripts for any funny videos you make for the likes of Boojum or whatever. All that shit is written. So I am a fucking comedy writer. You know what I mean? Could I, you know, do you mean just sit in the background and write for like, I mean, it would be good to get, I don't know. Like if someone said to me, do you want to write fucking jokes for like the Blame Game but not have to be on it? I'd be like, yeah, absolutely. I'll throw you some fucking shitty jokes. But it's hard to write jokes that are universally, not universally funny, but you know, there's certain things that I could say that would be really funny, but if like Rory Wood said the same line, it would not be funny. So it's a lot in the delivery and the persona of the person who's fucking bringing it forward. Right, let's go through these fucking questions. Stuart Anderson, how are your sofa moving skills? Mate, I can move everything. I'm great at moving shit. Marty Goodall, what's your favourite sauce? Sriracha hot sauce. That's it. Big fan of hot sauces though. We've got them all here. You got your Tabascos, your Srirachas. Got your fucking Cholula, Mexican hot sauces. You got your fucking, even the Heinz ones, right down to the fucking shitty Heinz ones. It's all there, mate. Your African hot sauces, they're there. They're all there. All there, bro. Let me see. 2 questions left. Who's your favourite big time comedian? That's from Gordon Rugg Baker. Probably Bill Burr. He's pretty big time now, isn't he? He's big time. He's probably one of my favourites. So there you go. Danny Williams, final question. If you were still at school but trying to sneak into a comedy night, would you sit at the front and act like a dick or maybe sit near the back and shut up? All right, okay. Oh, I met you on Saturday. Right, there we go. The pieces come together. So, oh yeah, at the Book Reserve gig, there was the front row full of some very young folks drinking Carlsberg. And you know what? Fair play to them. If you're at school but trying to sneak into a comedy night, it's a different story, Danny, because it's in a fucking it's in a bookshop, so it's not your average gig. No one's being fucking ID'd at the door. So I tell you what, that's actually a bit of a loophole for any 16, 17, 18 year olds who are looking to come and see like any of the squad. Me, fucking Shane, Mickey, anyone. If you want to buy tickets to a book reserve gig, the Cocktail Comedy Club, next time one goes up, you just buy your ticket, show up, bring a carry out, get steaming. No bouncers to throw you out, none of that shit. You can just sit there getting fucking wiped out. But, you know, even if I was a parent and I had a fucking 16-year-old, I'd much rather they sneak out to a comedy gig and have a few beers than, you know, trying to fucking, you know, trying to get into Shine to take fucking ease via your asshole. If you know what I'm saying. Anyhow, that brings us to the end of the General Banter audio regular podcast with just me. It's an absolute chore, isn't it, guys? It is. Cheers for listening. Let me do more plugs. Lavery's Comedy Club, 17th. General Banter live podcast. Me, Shane, fucking Aaron McCann, some guests who cannot be named, but we know who they are. And that's about it. Keep your eye out for the links to the t-shirts. There'll be a pre-order phase, and then we'll probably send them all out at the end of the week, the start of next week. I'll keep you posted. It basically goes to support the podcast. Buy some better equipment. We can record the live ones better. All that shit. So that's the way you do it, guys. Yeah. Please buy a t-shirt. We'll send you some stickers. You know, send you some dick pics, whatever. And that's it. Check out youtube.com/Godzilla. Watch the video podcasts recorded live from Casa de Geddes in the small office that I have here. Mainly filled with hats. And shit. And fitness equipment that never gets used. But fuck it. Cheers for listening. I'll fucking speak to yous next week, game. Alright, guys. Enjoy it. Enjoy this tune.
I'm chilling 4 hours, smoking weed, watching World Star, Benz in the garage, probably gotta drive your girl car. You ain't a rapper, my homies never heard y'all. I spit a punchline, smile, and they bird call. Get your sister in the face with a nerf ball. Out dealing with some shit that really don't concern y'all. Punch a fan if you get a fucking word wrong. Wave, you giving me some shit that you can surf on. Find me a bitch, I can swerve.